I want to say welcome to everyone. This is the Ohio Writers Guild podcast, and I am your host, and Sandy Kachurik is my co-host. And yes, Sandy, I got to jump over here before I forget and actually make you a co-host. There we go. And so the reason that we are here is we're all about authors and writers. And today we're going to be talking to Sandy about her writer's workshop. Registration is going to go live in January. And so this is the perfect opportunity to hear more about what it is and what it offers. And even if you're not totally local, tons of great places to stay. Easy in and out if you're flying in or driving in from somewhere else. It's a very easy conference to get to, and I highly recommend it. I've now been there, Sandy, what, my third year? Yeah, so I highly recommend it. When I first met Sandy, and I know you guys I have to tell you a little bit of my backstory before we talk to Sandy, but I wanted to be a writer from the time I was 12 years old. I told my mom, I'm going to be a writer someday. And of course, I love to write all through school. Most of us that are writers, we were born writers. We loved the English language and we loved to write. And so we were writing stories long before maybe writing stories was even the thing to do. So I wanted to be a writer, but I had the opportunity. I had a gentleman call me up one day. And well, first I have to tell you the story. I was scrolling on Facebook, as many of us do, and I saw this Ohio Writers Guild, and it kept saying, "We need a facilitator. We need a facilitator, please. I need a facilitator." And I hesitated over it, but I hadn't written anything. Again, I've been writing for years. I hadn't published anything. I didn't think I was a writer at that point, but I saw that, and I thought, who am I to be the facilitator of the Ohio Writers Guild? I have no credentials to be any kind of a facilitator on a Writers Guild. So I scrolled on by as we do, but it just kept popping up in my feed. And so finally, I thought, okay, I've seen this like every day for a month. I probably ought to explore it. So I simply posted or commented on his post. I'm not sure now exactly, but something like, what's the deal? Why, and he said, can we talk? Well, we got together on a Zoom call like this, just the two of us. And he said, I'm terminal. I'm on hospice now. And he said, I just don't want to see this group fall apart. And he said, I'm desperately looking for someone that can take it over. He said, it's been in the works for years. We've got quite the audience. And he said, I just don't want to see it go by the wayside. Well, of course, that pulls at my heartstrings. And I'm like, oh, am I going to take this on? And I did. And so I said, okay, I'll be the facilitator. Well, we grew from under 1,000 members to upload like over 3,000 members now. And so it's all about authors and writers. And we want you to write, even if you're just journaling, if you're blogging, it doesn't matter. When you post stuff on Facebook, I've seen your post on Facebook. You guys are writers. I've seen it. So don't think that you're not a writer just because you're not officially published, because that'll come. That'll come. And the main thing that I want to instill in you today is that if you want to be a writer, you have to hang out with writers. If you want to be a real estate investor, you have to hang out with real estate investors. Okay. If you want to be a skier, you have to hang out with skiers. You have to get on the slope. So my point is you need to surround yourself with the folks that are doing it, that are somewhat ahead of you, maybe way ahead of you, but you have to get in front of those folks because you will grow and move so much faster if you put yourself in the correct environment. And so I say that to say this, go to some writers' workshops. I had never been to one by the time I became the facilitator of the Ohio Writers Guild. I'd never been to a writers' workshop. And so what I did is I started looking around for writers' workshops, and I knew Sandy had one coming up, but hers was kind of out in the future. And so I thought, I don't even know what a writer's workshop does. I don't even know. And so I found two or three, and look in your area. You can Google it, where are the writers' workshops in your area, and they'll pop up. depending on where you live. So for those of you that are listening to this later, just do a little research. But I did research and I found a writer's workshop coming up within a couple of weekends away from the date where I was searching. And it was just maybe an hour, hour and a half away from me. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go to this. So I did. It was my first workshop. And I sat in the back row and I just listened to what was going on. And I met so many wonderful writers that weekend. And I thought, wow. I wish I would have known this years ago. I wish I would have known this right out of high school that I could have surrounded myself with folks that are actually monetizing their writing. I mean, there were authors that were bestsellers. We were talking bloggers that had big following. And so I'm thinking, wow, I wish I would have known this sooner. So anyway, I kind of entrenched myself in the whole writing community, started going to writers' workshops. Then Sandy's workshop finally came up on my calendar, which I attended. And hands down, my favorite still, because her workshop is large enough to be professional, but small enough and intimate enough that you really feel like you're a part of the group and you make those connections. A couple of the workshops I went to were so big that I felt a little intimidated because I hadn't published anything at that point, and there was like some big published authors in the room, and so I didn't feel like I didn't quite fit in. And I know everybody knows what I'm talking about. We've all been in those spaces where we don't know what we don't know, so we have a tendency to hold back, and that's just human nature. So I get that. But once I got to Sandy's workshop, it was very inclusive. Everyone was so friendly. We were able to chat in between sessions. And even her, and we're going to talk about this, but even her presenters hung out with us in between sessions, which I did not see at any other workshop, by the way, Sandy. Yours was the only one that I saw that happen. Now, I'm sure it does. So, for some of you that are involved in other workshops, might go, well, it happens at my workshop. It probably does. I get that. But the ones that I attended that first year, I really did not see that until I got to Sandy's workshop. So, we're going to talk to Sandy today. And first of all, I want to introduce her. She is the director of Into the Springs Writers Workshop, bringing years of experience as an English and journalism teacher, department chair, union president, and published author to her leadership. And so deeply involved in Central Ohio's writing community, she has served in multiple roles with Central Ohio Fiction Writers. She belongs to the Authors Guild and the Ohio Writers Association, and she co-hosts with me on this particular podcast of the Ohio Writers Guild. Now, since taking over the Yellow Springs Workshop in 2019, she has transformed it to a single room, community focused event where writers and instructors learn together in a relaxed yet professional atmosphere designed to help participants cultivate their craft and advance their writing career. So I am very excited. Sandy's going to talk about the workshop today. So, Sandy, what inspired you to create the Into the Springs Writers Workshop, and what makes this event feel so special and different from other writing conferences out there, other than what I just shared?
Personalities kind of have a lot to do with it. When you were saying that you were always thought of yourself as enjoying your writing, even though you may not have taken writing classes in particular when you went to college or whatever you had done, it's the same with me. I've always been a really good organizer. And everything was tidy. My homework was always done just as it was supposed to be done. And I happened to adore reading. It started with reading before it became writing. And now, when because I taught for 30 some years and tutored for many years. And again, like you mentioned, I organized this as president of this, president of that. And it inevitably, if I join a group, somebody's going to hand me the keys to the car. So I go, whew, okay, because it's just the way I operate. There have been for over, I think it was 33 years, there was a relatively famous writer's workshop in Yellow Springs called the Antioch Writer's Workshop, an offshoot of Antioch College, which is a well-established historical institution. And for a variety of different reasons that I'm not sure of, they had to close. A couple of years go by, and a friend that I met there, because you are absolutely right, Kathy, whom you meet at these writers, some you'll just see maybe once a year if you go back, or maybe you'll see them on Facebook, or maybe you'll become really good friends with them. And I had a freelance writer friend that I met at that Antioch Writers Workshop 25 years ago, because I remember when I began, because I was trying to put together a writing experience that I had with some other women. And I didn't know how to do that. And now, mind you, I'm teaching the upper division of English classes. You'd think I'd know. But there's a difference between analyzing someone's written words and looking at that blank page and putting your own things in there and wanting it to be as good as the material you're analyzing in class. So I went to this place, and that book never happened, even though I've got the notes for it. You never know. But I met Wendy, and she came, 2018. She said,
Okay.
"I'd like to lead a workshop in Yellow Springs," and she called it Retreat to the Springs. She goes, "But could you help me?" Because she was from Cincinnati and it was a bit of a drive, and I'm right next door in Springfield to Yellow Springs. I said, "Sure, I'll help." And then at the end, I have to say kudos to her, because she needed help pulling in some people to work there, and it was a different setup. So, and I didn't realize just how many writers I really knew their stuff about the field they were writing in. So I got about three or four of her six writers and set it all up, helped her run it. Then the next year, she had some health issues beginning to pop up, and I was doing a little more. And these were the days in which, oh my gosh, I made the fruit trays, the cheese trays, the
Oh, that
Keurig machine, you know, you have
you were wearing all the hats.
yeah, the whole thing. At least I didn't have to pitch a tent, but in a community center. But she had said, I don't think this is for me. When it was all said and done, she dropped out. I pulled off that workshop in 09 in 2019, and she goes, I don't think this is for me. And I go, okay. So I don't know why I didn't just step back, but I jumped in, redesigned it, came back, of course, in 2021, and have been doing it, renamed it, restructured it to the one that to the type that you were talking about. And we instead of having six different genres, six or seven different speakers, one because of money. This is all on foundations. So I'm working on what can one person do? I go, I could do this. Can I work with somebody, a couple people who are willing to work hard the whole weekend that we could do? And I think it's a hallmark personally that I could keep these session leaders, these I call them featured guest instructors the whole weekend. Because I am always thinking of the people who have paid that money, but mostly who are sitting in that space. What do they need? How am I able to satisfy or get close to satisfying the needs of 35 to 50 different writers? And I don't know how many are going to show up every year. It's lovely. I have probably a good 20 to 25% in return. And if they are returning, why would they want to come back? What can I offer them? Where are they now on their stage of writing? So all that I could figure out, because again, all those years trying to figure out how to have this student who wants no business being in an English class actually at least think, okay, I'm not going to be a writer, but by God, I have been fortunate that all my presenters, by and large, work very well with each other and work well with, and yes, I my Okay, my connection is a bit unstable here. So if you don't mind blinking and giving it a second or two, I probably will be back. I could walk this thing around to another part of the house, but I
No,
put my
you're good.
snowman. I'm good. Okay, I put my snowman up. I don't know what, I don't even have my trees decorated yet, so this is it. Anyway, so I just really look for working with a couple of folks. And the two I have lined up for this year, get this, Tim has been, he's getting ready to retire in a couple of years as a creative writing professor, tenured professor at Sinclair College in Dayton. And he is known in his industry for his dark fantasy horror. And the type of horror, he knows this, that I have to ask my husband, would you read this? And would you let me know if it's okay for me to read? And he does other types of writing too. And he's also well known in movie tie-ins. You often hear folks who are watching a movie of a book they've read. Well, he has been hired, he gets hired to write a book of a movie that doesn't have a book about it. Now we're talking
Interesting.
like,
So this is not, you always hear about a movie being made off of a book, but he writes the book off of the movie.
he does indeed.
Interesting.
And you think, how do you do that? Well, just in knowing that, it was lovely. He doesn't live that far away from me, so we had it, and we've known each other for a long time, and we had a chance to chat. And one of the ideas is like resilience, and that's a part of it. He's been writing these movie tie-ins for maybe 3 years, five at the most, but he's been writing for over 25 years. And in like you said, you grow with your community by yourself or whom you're involved with. And I am sure when he gives his author talk, and I ask them now to do that, I used to just give a, hey, this is this author. Here's how I know of him. And then they take it from there. But now I give them at least 30 minutes to tell us, how did you get here? How did you get to this point? And maybe what probably doesn't surprise some people is the fact that, oh, wait a minute, I'm not that far different than that person. Well, if
Exactly.
he's got a contract, maybe I could get a contract. So that's where he knows people who knows people who knows people. And he's there's a there's quite a few horror writing awards out there. And he goes to he wins a lot of them. That's another way of good recognition. And we're talking, so I'm thinking, well, geez, Tim, because what's nice about Tim is he teaches. And in teaching, that means he's able to convey what they do. Not every author knows how to talk beyond maybe a keynote. And not that there's anything wrong with that. Someone tell me that Stephen King's going to be appearing down the street in a keynote, I'll probably find my way there. But for him, he does more than just know how to write his genre. He knows how to teach anything related to it. So if you're in the audience, if you're going to be there and thinking, well, I'm not a horror writer, if you're writing about a romance story, he could probably help devise that for you. I've seen his work, I've seen his school materials. He could do almost anything.
Well, and to your point, not everyone is a teacher. So, and if he's got that skill and that knack that he can convey how he does it and not and why he does it, and then, put all of that together, that's huge, no matter what genre you're writing in. So, I'm excited to hear him. Yes. And
Good.
then you have Julia Moore. Tell
I
us about
do.
Julia.
I met Julie at that Antioch Writers Workshop 20
Okay.
some years ago, and she wasn't teaching there, but she is a creative writing teacher. But her favorite genre to write in, she is a poet.
Okay.
She has her fifth book of poetry, a collection coming out soon in the spring. She's taught at Wilberforce, which is a historically African American university here. She's taught at a couple of religious-based universities in the area. And then
Okay,
she
so she's got the teacher gene.
went. She does indeed. She's directed writing centers. So she knows that she can pick up where you are and take the next step there. And that, for folks who maybe have raised families, are in the middle or nearing the end of a daytime career and really want to focus on writing, she can figure that out for where you are and what you're doing and maybe where your next step should be. And that might be, I might write that down. Where your next step should be is a good idea because I'm zooming with both of them in a couple weeks here.
Okay.
And that's where I get a chance to really see how they jive, and I think they're going to work very, very well together. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, I am very excited. Now, the schedule of this whole workshop is so thoughtfully designed, the shared sessions, the shared meals, the lots of connection. What was your vision behind creating such an intimate, community-driven atmosphere? Was it driven by the space you had, or did you go out searching where you could have that atmosphere? What came first?
Good. And I'm glad you put it that way. It was the space I was given. The community center that I was using could sit probably 20 at the most. And I had to, and it had a little kitchenette. So I had to squeeze in tables to put food on and so forth. So I was somewhere between 15, 20 people at the most. And with those closed confines, you get up to use the restroom and everybody's going to know. So, how do I make it intimate, but not, icky intimate? So,
Yeah.
that was the challenge. And then it got exciting. And what made it boom from there was I have a good friend in the world, in the writing world, digital. At that, called Jane Friedman. And if you ever just type in her name, she is a superstar among digital, online, independent publishing, self-publishing. And I knew her and she knew me from another workshop that I used to attend a lot in Indiana. And I wanted her to come and I knew she would come. But in order to afford her, isn't it funny how sometimes all my dreams come about, don't ours, with practicality? And I'm
Oh,
thinking,
absolutely.
okay, how am I going to afford her? I'm going to need at least 50 people in order to go. I can't possibly fit 50 in this little community room. And I knew that dazzling hotel.
Oh,
I
I think
think,
we're
okay.
freezing.
Yeah. And I wanted to stay in Yellow Springs because Yellow Springs, look it up if you've never heard of it before, Yellow Springs, Ohio. Wow, what a background of notoriety in a good way from a lot of superstars in movie, in theater, in writing. And I want to stay in town. That in itself, and I am fortunate there, that in itself is a free advertising tidbit
Yes.
because some people will say, oh, Yellow Springs. Well, sure.
Yeah.
I want to just look. I just want to have an excuse to come to Yellow Springs.
It
So,
is quite an amazing little town if you haven't been there. I love it. It's a very liberal arts community and I love everything about it. So Sandy, it is. It's the perfect spot.
yeah. So,
So
good.
now I know
Yeah.
you're at the Mills Park Hotel, which is right there in the middle of town. And for folks that have not been there, you can walk all over town from there. And there's lots of fun shops and things to do and places to go and things to see while you're there. Now, for someone that's coming for the first time, this workshop starts on a Friday evening, goes all day on a Saturday until noon on a Sunday. What will they expect to see when they walk through the door at the Mills Park Hotel on that Friday evening that the workshop starts? What do they expect to see there?
Right, hopefully, a lot of a welcoming. I have, as you walk in, most folks come in the back door where the convenient parking lot is because it's used, it's only less than half a mile long. But on a weekend, it's not unusual that 20,000 people will come walking through. That's how popular it is. So, Parking is a highlight. So parking is convenient and it is for the hotel folks and the workshop folks. So that's one
Yeah,
thing.
so finding a place to park is not an issue because they save a spot for you.
So you walk in that back door and there's going to be a sign, is the registration desk for the hotel's there, but there's a sign because they're always excited to see me. They're always excited about this workshop. So they have things as much as they can set up for welcoming everybody to come. And then you make an immediate left and there we are. And when you come in the door, I'm usually right there. Registration is just as you walk in. Of course, you get your drinks and I always have refreshments because it's on a Friday and we start registration opens between 5 and 5:30 before we start in town and settle in and kind of mingle for about a half hour. Then I get up and we get things going. But
I love it. I love it. And the front desk was so helpful. Last year when I was there, someone had forgotten their charging cord for their phone, and the front desk, they rummaged around in a drawer and found one for the participant. And so they're just so helpful, whatever it is that you need. And there's a restaurant right on site. You don't have to go somewhere and try to track down if you need something to snack on in between, or you want a full breakfast before you get started one morning, or anytime food is on your own, there's a restaurant right there, and the food is very good. So yeah, so it's one of our favorite places. I love how approachable that this whole event feels, especially with the optional morning riding activities, the open mic, and the book sales. Can you talk about those extras?
Sure. And once again, it all comes down to practicality because I'm thinking if I'm paying this much to rent this hotel space, I'm going to use every minute of it that I can. And there are some folks, you ever hear the stories of, oh, when do you write? I get up at 4 a.m. or I get up at 5 a.m. before the kids go to school or before they wake up or before I leave for work or whatever, whatever. And I'm thinking, okay, let's see who does that or who wouldn't mind doing that. So we start at 9, and I think and breakfast, I think, is going. Seven to eight, I have a creative writing time. We have probably 5 to 10 people who show up, and it's not bad. You have a prompt, you write, and then you share what and it's amazing. It's much like writing anything where you're okay, we're all writing about an apple tree, but everybody's story. There's a gal who's been coming for a long time and she is a chef and she's owned many restaurants. All her stories deal with cooking and restauranting and so forth and so on. So it allows you to try something on for size. So that's what that is. And with the book sales came along because I thought it was time. In the very beginning, whoever designed it, they thought if we said it was a book selling things, it would detract from the sessions. I don't think it's detracted from the sessions. To me, my logo or is log line is cultivate your craft, grow your writing business and community. And selling books is part of the business. And if you're at that step and you have books to sell, let's give it a whirl. Let's see what we can do. Now, if anybody who knows who's gone to all kinds of events selling their books in person, it's quite a challenge. But we give it a try. It's Sunday morning during one of the busiest times at the restaurant. Their Sunday brunch is pretty big, and we're doing our best to get those folks to come on in. But even then, your fellow attendees, they get to know you over the weekend. They want to take home something you've written and published.
Well, and just so you know, I have a collection of books where I have the author autograph the book. So it's a perfect opportunity for me to add to my collection because I meet those authors, I get to know them, and I want an autographed copy of their book. You know, I want it for my collection. So I always go home with as many books as I bring.
Absolutely. The other thing is open mic. And
Yes, tell us about that.
yeah, a lot of poets. Now, to me, open mic originally is a poet thing. They could read a poem in less than 5 minutes and so forth and so on. And to read part of a short story, that's a little tricky. So they're not often given that opportunity. So I go, what the heck? Saturday night, let's do that. So if you're in a hurry that you want to read aloud to an audience, you could do that during open mic reading. And if you're shy about reading your own material, you can ask anybody to do that. As an aside, on Monday, I have a friend who's an actor, and he also teaches the arts to mostly elementary students. And I've asked him to meet me and to chat about open mic because I want it to be a little dazzling than it
Yes.
is. So, that's the other thing, being ahead of everything, I can kind of, enhance things as I see what's working, what's not working, what can I do better. And that's one of them. So we'll see.
It's one of my favorite times of the conference, too.
Wow.
Yes, I love it because it lets me hear what some of the authors are doing, and you get to see it in real time. And so I love that. And I tell you what, the talent, is unbelievable when they have that open mic and they or the actor reads part of their story. You can tell you everyone's leaning in. It's like, oh, how is that going to turn out? We love that story. So it is one of my favorite times. Now, you also do a first 10 pages critique, and that is such an opportunity for writers. Can you walk us through what that critique looks like and why those opening pages are so important? And this was a big eye-opener for me the first time that I saw this in action.
Wow. Yes, that has been the critiques has happened since the very beginning, 7 years ago. And it's an opportunity to have a professional author, poet, look at your work and look at it from the standpoint of how is this going to work in the huge world of readership? And I don't know, a lot of folks will pick up a book, they'll read the back cover or the inside cover. And that might be all that they'll do. Those are called blurbs. And boy, oh boy, you could do a whole session on blurbs alone. But a lot of folks will also open the first page and read. And what you want them to do is turn the page. And
Yes.
what kind of magic goes on that first page that has them riveted already? And there's one class that Tim had talked about, immersive writing, how to get the reader to fall into the character and the character's world, because that's what makes us want to turn that page. And how do you do that? I mean, what? There's 250 words on a page, maybe even less if it's the first page. And that's critical. And so, of course, those first 10 pages are critical. That's close to the first to a chapter, and it could be a chapter. So, someone who has a lot of publishing experience of their work under their belt, who has tripped over this so many times, who have professional editors saying, "Nah, this isn't working. Here's where you have to fix it." Their experience will help you. And what I ask, all the directions are online, and I'll have a lot of folks. And then you send me your first 10 pages, and then I send them on to Tim or Julie or both. And what they do is it's double space, 12-point font, those 10 pages. And what they'll do is they'll feed it into a computer and they'll put comments in the writing itself. So you've got there, whoa, 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 let's not start here. Ooh, look at that. Oh, passive voice isn't going to work. Or, wow, I love how you've described such and such, such and such. Then they're going to meet with you for up to 10 minutes, sometime during the weekend when it's not during session time, not during anything that we're all like lunch, we're all doing it together. and talk with you about it for 10 minutes. So you can ask questions, so they could explain things. And it's a great opportunity. Someone I always have on my evaluation at the end, I always ask, so what did you think if you took advantage of it? Because it is $50 extra dollars. And they said, you know, I was talking to folks and they wished they would have had it something done.
Yes.
Because we
Because,
have, yeah,
but we
go.
all know at the end of the day, books are business.
Yeah.
And if you want to write professionally and you want to actually monetize your writing, then you have to understand that books are business. And this is what gets readers hooked, which is the whole point.
And it's totally different from having your mom read it or your best friend read it. And there are those, and they're some are called beta readers, where once you think you're totally done, then you have some friends or acquaintances or somebody who knows what the genre you're writing in to have it for you. But there's nothing quite like that very professional look. Now, I don't think I've ever had anybody either give a negative response to that, because the folks I choose, and thank goodness so far, they are professionals, they're human beings, and they know they've been there. They know where you're at and what they're looking for, and how do they get you from what you have here to maybe the next step, or maybe it's ready to roll for one last edit and then sending it on to wherever you want it to go next. But that's what we call the personal critique.
I love it. I love it. And that is such an integral part of the workshop. So just know that if you're listening in. Now, one thing that writers always ask is, who is the workshop really for? What would you say to writers at different stages? Brand new writers, intermediate, seasoned authors? How do they fit into the workshop?
I just, and the very beginning, it was structured for a writer who had a project underway. And you can't tell people what to do. I'd have these folks come walking in the door, they're just thinking about writing, or they're wanting to write their memoir, or a story about their grandparents and where do they go. I want those people in there as much as I want the person who's got the memoir done or almost done or something of that sort. So that's the other challenge. And I have found that I have a lot of writers who are more on the have not published yet level than those who have. There are some that are in there. And again, I'm looking to satisfy. If they can find a couple of things that they are so glad they stuck around for the whole weekend to learn, then whew, I've done all right. But and at the tables, we sit in round tables, and that gives you face-to-face connection with people. And sometimes you may be, and I'm always looking out for the shyest ones who might go home wishing they would have said something, but they didn't. I don't have them planted, but there are such nice people who will ask them, so what are you doing? Or maybe that person who's too shy will talk to the person next to them, and then the person next to them will go, hey, why don't you? Oh, look, there's the writer right now. Why don't you ask that perp? Or maybe they'll sit next to them because we share lunch together just for that opportunity, because a lot of nice things can chat over lunch. So, it is across the board. Someone just thinking about writing, or always have, to those who have a couple of books published.
Well, and again, if you want to be a writer, you have to surround yourself with writers, and this is the perfect opportunity to do it. And it's such a laid back, comfortable weekend
Oh, good.
because everyone feels accepted and included. And what I learned from the several workshops that I've been to is that oftentimes writers are somewhat introverts. Now, again, you have to ask yourself what comes first. Are they a writer because they're an introvert, or are they an introvert because they're a writer? I have a tendency to think that the persons that are introverts maybe have turned to writing as a way to express themselves because they can do it behind the scenes and they don't have to be that upfront person that's carrying the whole conversation in the room. And we all know, we all have an Uncle Joe that can do that. But oftentimes, the introverts do express themselves, in a more passive way, and writing is a great passive way to do that. And so you might find yourself, if you're at a table, that you're not the only introvert, which is okay, because you can have that conversation with the people at your table, and you don't feel like you're on a, under a spotlight, and that you have to, be this totally outgoing person. You can just be who you are, and I find that that's very comfortable. And so this workshop makes it comfortable. I do like the round tables for that reason, because you do get to know the folks at your table, and everybody makes you feel included. So I don't want
Oh,
anyone to
cool.
feel like, oh, I don't want to go to a writer's workshop because there's going to be people there. It's okay. It's okay. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at how okay it is if you are an introvert. Now, registration is going to open on January 1st with a discount until February 14th. And what is the best strategy for grabbing a spot early, especially for those limited critique sessions? So definitely, if you want to do that, jump in early so that you can get one of those spots, because there's only going to be so many in that weekend that can get a spot to do a critique. So if you've got some writing under your belt and you want it critiqued, this is the safe place to do it. Yes.
I would
So,
think so. Because nobody's going to know unless you tell them
right.
what Tim or Julie might have said. So yeah, no.
But it's so valuable to have a professional look at your writing. So, and do it early. Don't say, well, if I had a whole book, then I would do it. No, do it early. So that way, if you need to adjust your writing style, you can adjust early before you get the whole manuscript done and then realize you got to adjust the whole thing. So, yeah, start early. If you're in the middle of writing something or beginning writing something, now's the time to get those first 10 pages critiqued. So, what is their best strategy for getting one of those spots?
The first 2 weeks in January is probably the busiest. So, and I'm always anticipating, hopefully, enthusiastically anticipating a lot. Tim did say, because he does teach and he writes a lot. Oh my gosh, I don't know how he does it. He writes so much that he's kind of hesitating. I always have them do at least 10 personal critiques. I know Julie will be fine with 10, and we'll see what Tim, I'll find that out and we'll post it. But you can't register for the critique until you register for the class. Prices are high, and I will really director this afternoon change the discount price from last year. And last year it was $299.99. And I'm like, oh, I remember the days when it was just over 100 way back when. But I look at other workshops, I'm thinking, this isn't that bad at all for everything people get, including lunch. So look for no more than maybe $305 discount at the most, but I'll stick with $299.99. So jump in there quickly. And who
Yes.
knows? Plus you've got these gift certificates. So I'm thinking, yeah, this might just work. I like that idea. But yeah, try and get in there before February 14th. And that happened last year and the year before, that the bulk of the folks who are coming are doing it then. You can't, if something horrible happens and you have to bow out, there is a bow out with not maybe a $50 that I keep, because taxes, 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 interest rates, and all that jazz. But and I forget when it is exactly. But other than that, I'd say if you're available August 7th, 8th, and 9th this summer, oh, summer, this summer, by all means, give it a shot. Really. I think there's enough opportunity of doing related to writing that something is going to ring your chimes as far as, oh, wow, who knew? I've got to read out loud more. And so Yeah, I would say as soon as you can, as soon as you know you have those dates free and it's possible. The hotel itself, I've got a rate that's going to be just for Into the Springs people until about June 1st, but the hotel is expensive, I'll say that. And but
Well,
there's a lot of there's like there's
for those
about
that are
30.
listening, you don't have to stay at the Mills. Now, it's fun to stay there because you're right in the mix of the workshop, but you don't have to stay there if financially that is an issue. There are other hotels that are within like a 10-minute drive, and so you can stay offsite and just drive over if you're traveling, depending on how far away you live. We had a gal, I don't remember Teresa, she actually was what, an hour away, and she just drove it every day. She just went home at night and drove it back the next morning. I mean, some folks around where I live, they drive an hour one way to go to work. So she said, "What's an hour? I want to do the workshop."
And there's a
So
couple girlfriends who get together and rent an Airbnb, and there are about 30 of them. If you look at the website, I have a links that will take you to other places that will give you some options, or ask a travel person if what they might know.
Okay, so if they want to, and for those of you that are listening, Sandy and I just talked earlier today about her having a gift certificate that you could purchase for yourself or for a writer in your universe. That you think might like this for a Christmas gift. And Sandy is planning on having a link on the website early that you can purchase that. And so the website is going to be into the springswritersworkshop.com. Is that it?
Yep, that's it.
Okay. I am going to put that in the chat into the Springs Writers. I have to pay attention to my keyboard here so I make sure I don't misspell anything. So
Yes, I
into
started and then my internet went wonky. I go, okay, maybe that's too much for it. It is a Monday.
The Springs Writers Workshop.com. I think I've got that in there correctly. I'll post that so you can see.
Thank you.
So Into the Springs Writers Workshop, it's August 7, 8, and 9 of 2026. Go to Into the Springs Writers Workshop.com and give Sandy a couple of days to get her certificate there. But there is a place that if you want to get a Christmas gift, I think it'd be an amazing Christmas present. Especially for a wannabe writer that's never been to a workshop, this is a great first one.
Thank you.
So if you have some writers in your circle that have never been to a workshop, or if you've never been to a workshop, this is a great opportunity to give that a try. And you know, we're all I said to Sandy earlier, I said, we're all spending money for presents for each other at Christmas time. Why not give something that someone really wants? I don't know about you, but I've got plenty of stuff. I'd rather have some experiences. And so I love the fact that this experience of a writer's workshop can help bring me along in my, I'll call it my writing career. And since I started writing, I have since been published in three different books, and all three have been number one bestsellers. I'm scheduled to be in a couple more. I just submitted my chapter to yet a whole different publishing house that wants to publish also an anthology. And so I'm kind of excited that, you know, my writing career is kind of taking off now that I've been surrounding myself with writers, and it feels good to know that, you know, I'm finally finding my footing there. So before we close, what would you say to a writer who feels a little unsure, maybe sitting on the fence, wondering if this workshop is the right next best step for them? What would you say to them?
Let this, and that's an interesting thing. Come to the workshop, talk to Tim, talk to Julie. Julie will say, even in her poetry career, that's what she always wanted to do. But of course, she went into academics and started teaching, and she loves it. But she knew that if she didn't do it, she would regret it. So put yourself, ask her. Ask Tim. Tim's written all sorts of things, setbacks, push aheads, accolades, loses awards, wins awards. Ask them. They would be they would love to tell you to give it the go-ahead.
I love that. Sandy, thank you so much for being on today. I love that you're involved, and this is
Thanks.
just, yeah, this is such a great time. Again, it's on my calendar. In the past, it
Okay.
always conflicted with my class reunion every year, and I've been out of school for over 50 years now, so I don't have very many of those reunions left, so I try not to miss one. But it's perfect because this is a little bit of a different weekend, am I correct? Just the way the
Yes.
month fell. And so I think it's going to end up finally getting off of my class reunion weekend. So I get to stay the whole Saturday night this time, which I really like because I love the event on Saturday night, and I hate to have to miss that piece of it. So I get to stay this year. So thank you so much, and I just want to say thanks to Sally and Lee and Sierra, and we had Sherry on for a moment. She had to jump off. And so I just want to say thank you to everybody that came on
Thank you.
today. And let's see here if there's my recording button. So before we go, again, go to intothespringswritersworkshop.com. If you want to connect with me, simply go to kathybinner.com. And we will see everyone next time.
Yes, the best of the holidays.